You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Wind came up, the door closed on me, and the children were screaming.
Welcome. Neverland is mine.
We're gonna bring ghosts from all over the world.
Join us. Be sure to bring your death certificate.
Well. To evil land.
You're supposed to tell them to take their pixie out of their pockets.
I don't believe in fairies. I am your host, your ghost.
And I'm your pixie, the windy nerd, Heather. Why can't I see you, and what have you done with Jeremy, our spider pan?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, actually, I would. That's why I asked.
So you've come to Neverland to find.
That's right, and I will turn this place upside down until I do.
Meanwhile, Lost Boy Eric is searching Disneyland for him.
And he sent us some great audio.
And of course, you'll want to share a trailer, won't you?
Yep, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Walt Disney World celebrated 45 years on October 1st. Thanks to LaughingPlace.com for this audio. If you'd like to see the video, head over to their website, LaughingPlace.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please welcome Walt Disney World ambassadors, Evangel Palma and Caitlin Buster.
Good morning and welcome to our celebration. Isn't this exciting? 45 years ago, we'll welcome our first guest to the most magical place on Earth.
Now we invite you to celebrate those 45 years of magic, dreams, and make-believe with us today at the 45th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Resort.
Oh my God.
now, please help me welcome to the stage the president of the Walt Disney World Resort, George A. Calogridis.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Walt Disney World and Magic Kingdom. As Nathaniel said, 45 years ago, on October 1st, 1971, we welcomed our very first guests. I was working here that day as a busboy at Disney's Contemporary Resort, one of the two resorts that was in operation here on opening day. I can tell you that for all of us cast members in the resorts and the theme park both, it was a day of excitement, anticipation, considerable butterflies in our stomach. But mostly, it was a day of joy because we had the privilege of knowing that we were about to create Disney memories that you, our guests, could cherish for a lifetime. And today, 45 years later, that joy continues. It's such an honor to have you here to share with us this milestone. On October 25th, 1971, Roy Disney, one of the co-founders of our company, was here to personally dedicate this place. It had been known during its planning stages as Disney World, but during his dedication, Roy used its new name, Walt Disney World, dedicating it to his brother, arguably the greatest entertainment visionary of the 20th century. Here's what Roy said on that day. Walt Disney World is a tribute to the philosophy and life of Walter Elias Disney, and to the talents, the dedication, and the loyalty of the entire Disney organization that made Walt Disney's dream come true. Then Roy ended with a wish that we would like to share again with all of you. May Walt Disney World bring joy and inspiration and new knowledge to all who come to this happy place. A magic kingdom where the young of heart of all ages can laugh and play and learn together. During anniversaries such as this, it's also helpful to remember something our founder said during the 10th anniversary celebration at Disneyland. Speaking at the Disneyland Hotel, Walt Disney said, "I just want to leave you with this thought, that it's just been sort of a dress rehearsal, and we're just getting started." Of course, after 45 years, perhaps we've gone a bit beyond the dress rehearsal stage. But when I think about Walt Disney World, I think of Disney's Animal Kingdom, where next year we will open Pandora, the world of Avatar, an entire new land based on the number one box office feature of all time. I think of Disney's Hollywood Studios, where we are now under construction on two other new lands based on Toy Story and Star Wars, two of the strongest franchises in the entertainment industry. That comes on top of everything else we've already done today. And while I'm not ready to open the jar of pixie dust just yet, I can tell you that we will have much more news coming between now and our golden anniversary in 2021. So in a very real sense, we are just getting started. We are very pleased that you could join us for this moment. And now, to celebrate 45 years of magic, here is a 21st century take on a classic Disney favorite.
To
so much for joining us this morning in our special celebration of the 45th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Resort.
Now we invite you to continue the celebration as you create your own memories, adventures, and dreams here at the Walt Disney World Resort.
Have a magical day and see you real soon.
October 1st was also the premiere of Great Moments in History, but only the American parts, starring the Muppets. Sometimes assisted by the town crier, the Muppets will appear in windows to perform musical plays about Paul Revere, the Declaration of Independence, and more. These are great shows, of course featuring Gonzo, Fozzie, Piggy, Sam the Eagle, and of course some chickens, and then Kermit. Muppet mayhem and comedy always flood these shows, and so we highly recommend them.
You are witnessing a pre-recorded audio Muppet show. And now I've ruined the map.
By the time you hear this, a first look at Pirates of the Caribbean will have premiered Sunday night.
Right during a season 2 finale of Fear the Walking Dead.
After the success of Jon Favreau's live-action The Jungle Book, he's spoken with Disney about live-action version of The Lion King.
Considering the Jungle Book had one live element, namely Mowgli, I fail to see how a full CGI animal movie is considered live action.
And Teddy Ruxpin is returning to toy store shelves with new LCD eyes and updated technology.
Something so creepy, it gives even me nightmares.
Teddy Ruxpin hits store shelves with hard drive loaded with 10 stories. You, of course, can download more stories. He's set to return July 2017 and will cost $99.
Now that's scary. Well done.
I have to agree with you on that. Well, I guess that means you're in the mood for a ride on Ghost Galaxy at Disneyland thanks to Lost Boy Eric.
Let's take a ride at a Disney park. Let's take a ride right now. Oh, this.
Got all set up?
Yeah.
Okay,
Mickey,
let's go.
Thank you.
ride, y'all. One more time. It don't matter what you look like. It don't. Nobody gonna sing with me. Okay.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
You've known for 24 hours that an unregistered wizard set magical beasts loose in New York?
Yes.
Where is this man?
So, you're the guy with the case full of monsters, huh?
News travels fast.
Mr. Scamander, do you know anything about the wizarding community in America? We don't let things loose.
Hey, Mr. English guy, I think your egg is hatching.
You wiped his memory, right? The no magic.
The what?
No magic. The non-wizard.
Sorry, we call them muggles.
I don't think I'm dreaming.
I'll give it away.
I ain't got the brains to make this up.
Something is stalking our city. Wreaking destruction, and then disappearing without a trace. Witches live among us.
We've lived in the shadows for too long.
I ask all of you, who does this protect? Us or them?
Danger. He senses danger.
This is related to Grindelwald's attacks in Europe. This could mean war.
We got a plan, right, guys?
They need our help.
Was that everything that came out of the case?
I won't let another one die.
I refuse to bow down any longer.
So we have a trailer of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and this is kind of exciting. Of course, I love animals, so any little animals that even magical ones that show up will be good. It looks like it's a magical people versus non-magical people kind of battle that's trying to be incited there.
And did I hear the name Grindelwald?
Yes, I think you did.
Well, I'm sure Harry Potter fans that have read the books will be familiar with Grindelwald. That alone makes it exciting. But why have I not used this idea? You want Fantastic Beasts? I should unleash a few beasts upon Neverland. How would you enjoy that?
Oh, no thanks. We're good with beasts.
Oh, of course. If anyone else calls you beasts, though.
Ugh.
To Disney and beyond.
And now, we'll hear from horror icon Carrie Henn. Fans will know her as Newt in the blockbuster Fear Fest that is James Cameron's Aliens.
Day 2, Kansas City Comic Con. Welcome, everyone. You guys having a good time so far?
Yep.
Yes, I'm totally with you. Alright. Our guest this morning made her mark in Hollywood as Newt. So, let's let her go ahead and come out and she can talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Henn.
Hello.
Welcome to Kansas City.
Thank you.
Is this your first time here?
It is, yes.
All right, so you were born in London, you live in California now.
No, I was born in Panama City, Florida.
Okay, you live in London, that's where they found your grave.
Actually I lived at RAF Lake and Heath, which was an Air Force base up in England. Sorry.
I have done my research well.
But the Aliens was filmed in London, so technically I did live in London during the
London research. Alright, so take me back. You're 9 at the time?
Yes.
And they come to you and they say, "Would you know me?" What was that process? How did you get involved in the beginning?
Well, it all kind of takes a year. It all was kind of like a freak thing that happened. I was eating lunch in my school cafeteria. I went to an Air Force base school, and usually I went home for lunch because if you lived nearby, you could. And my mom just happened to not be home that day, so a casting agent came around and took pictures of sort of what James Cameron had in his mind as what he would like for the part of Newt. They took my picture. I didn't think anything of it at all, and then a few days later, they called and said, "Oh well, you know, someone took Carrie's picture. Would she like to try out for a movie?" I really had no concept of what was going on, but my parents just said, "Would you like to try out for it?" So I said, "For sure." So we had a lot of auditions at my school, and then they brought about 5 or 6 of us from my school to London to the student time studios, and they did auditions there. And then they called back and said it was between myself and a girl in America. So they were flying Sigourney Weaver over to audition with me to see kind of how our chemistry was. And then after that audition, they called up and said I had the part. And again, we still really didn't have a concept of what I was getting involved in.
So first day on set, when you know, you've got all of this going around you, these cameras, these people up here making the lights on, how did you react to that? I mean, when it was before really you were on the set?
Well, I was very lucky because between James Cameron and Stan Winston, they were very amazing and they tried to shelter me from a lot of things. And part of that was by telling me how everything was done. So before the actual filming, I was there and I got to see the sets and see how everything was. They tested my hair, like they had to cut it because it wouldn't frizz out enough because it was too long. They tested my makeup and everything. So I was used to all of that. What actually worried me the most was we had to go and eat. Everyone went into the cafeteria and they ate, and I was upset the first time going there because I thought everybody would laugh at me because of the way I was dressed. I had no concept, and they were filming Little Shop of Horrors at the time, so there's people dressed all crazy in there, but as a 9-year-old, that was my concern, was that they were going to think I was weird, so.
And 9 years old, going in and working at Pinewood Studios, where so many films have been made, it just, there's no sense of the history of the place, but now looking back on it in hindsight, is your feeling about it any different in how much of an impact this is? Because Aliens was a really big hit in the 80s. And you know, here we are 30 years later, we're talking about you're doing panels and you're doing, because after Aliens you didn't do any more acting.
No, well, and at the time, you know, I didn't realize how big Pinewood Studios was, or even how big half the people I was working with were, because at 9 I had no concept. Now looking back, I mean, at the time I knew they had, like, there's a special set there for James Bond, and it says, like, 007 on the side. Well, I knew James Bond. So I thought that was pretty cool, and that's where they were filming Little Shop of Horrors. So wardrobe, you know, people working on that, so they took us over and I got to see all the sets when they weren't filming, things like that, which was really cool to do. But, you know, like, I didn't go into acting. I didn't realize until, I think it was about 8 years ago, was about when I realized how big Aliens was. And I don't know if I still really have a complete grasp of it, because I filmed Aliens, and then we finished filming in February, and then we did voiceovers and little things like that, and then I moved back to the States in May, and Aliens came out in July. I really just wanted to be a normal kid, you know, so I didn't have any concept. I contemplated going into acting, but I wanted to make friends. It was a culture shock going from England, which my mom is English, so even though we lived up in American Air Force Base, we were with my mom's family when we weren't at school or work or whatever. So I was essentially an English child. It was a big culture shock going to California, as you can imagine. So it was hard, it was tough, and I just wanted to kind of get used to everything and make friends. And then I always wanted to be a teacher, so that's what I ended up following that path instead. And then
you currently teach fourth grade in California?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And now that you've been doing this, you know, you've had the 30th anniversary, you were out of San Diego, and you're starting to do all these panels, and now there's discussion about a new alien with Neil Blomkamp doing essentially Alien 5, or Alien 6, whatever the number is, that ignores the death of the new Nick Hicks. Have there been any talks? Have you even thought, I wonder what it would be like if you thought about coming back to the character?
You know, it's been 30 years. I don't know if I can do it again. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort.
There might not be a slide this time.
Yeah. You know, I'm a mom, I'm a teacher, I have two kids. My daughter's in competitive soccer, so I'm pretty busy a lot. I don't know. I mean, obviously, you don't really know until it happens to you. I wouldn't be opposed to doing, like, something small, like maybe a cameo or something like that, but I know about as much as all of you do, because I've heard little bits here and there when I'm at conventions. This summer we did a convention in Houston, and there was like 8 or 9 of us that got together for that. So of course it came up in one of the panels there. So I hear little snippets here and there. At San Diego it came up again. But I mean, I know about as much as you guys do. And like the day that, I think it was Alien Day, when he released a picture that looked eerily like me about 5 years ago, so, yeah.
Okay, now we do have a microphone set up here, so if any of you have any questions, go ahead and line up there and we'll get started. Yes, sir?
Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Being 9 years old and being around the xenomorphs, what was that like? Was that pretty terrifying, or?
You know, it should have been. But it wasn't, because it was a stuntman who I was friends with, who they used to let me do kind of crazy things. And so I just, they'd be running around without the head on, and then we'd be getting ready to film and they put the head on and that. But I'm scared of dogs, more so then, so I was just pretending like it was a dog chasing after me.
Hey. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
I haven't seen you in 22 years. Hi, how you doing? Welcome
pretty
to Kansas City.
Thank you.
You miss anything from class of 94 at all?
Just so you know, we went to high school together.
Yeah, we went to high school together in Tower High.
You know, I don't miss high school.
I don't know if you
mean. Well, I just want to say welcome to Kansas City. I'm going to go back to the booth. So.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
I'll see you
later.
Now, the whole wanting to be a normal kid, Now that you're doing the conventions and whatnot, are the people in your neighborhood looking at you a little bit differently, or do they know that you're Newt, or has that...
It's pretty old news. My dad, we moved to this town 30 years ago, and I've pretty much lived there. You know, I went to college and that, but I live there. So, like, my students, I went to school with their, you know, aunts, cousins, moms, dads. So it's not really a big deal. And it's kind of my secret life, because I don't go around saying, oh, I was doing the aliens, and oh, I'm going to this place. You know, my friends know, but it's not something that I really broadcast.
It's cool that you're a fourth grade teacher. What things did you want to be? First of all, when did school start, and why did you want to be a teacher?
You know, all my life I always wanted to be a teacher. I used to line my dolls up, and I teach them different things. I mean, ironically, I was in fourth grade when I filmed Aliens, so it's kind of the only year I can't associate with. What was the other part of that question?
I assume the school's not starting yet.
Oh, well, that's why I'm here Saturday and Sunday, because teachers went back on Thursday, so I had meetings Thursday, and then I had meetings yesterday, and then I took a red eye out, and then I leave Sunday, night right after the convention because I have meetings again on Monday. And then students start on Tuesday.
Do you find it to be fulfilling?
I love it. I love every day. Well, 99.9% of the time it is very, very fulfilling.
The world of Hollywood and real life, that whole difference between, you talk about culture shock coming from England to LA. When did you start going to conventions? And was that itself some kind of culture shock for you? Because I mean, you haven't been around any of this. And now suddenly here you are, you're doing all these conventions. San Diego's huge. You know, is that its own kind of culture shock for you?
Yeah, I mean, at first it definitely was. I guess they've been looking for me, and I'm pretty hard to find, and I like it that way. And they finally, someone found me, I'm trying to think, my daughter was about a year old, so 8 years ago? 2008, someone in London found me, and they said, hey, you want to come to a convention? I truly and honestly had no clue. Like, the only conventions I've been to were teacher conventions, which are very different to Comic-Cons. So I thought, a free trip to London? What the heck? My family lives there. So we went, and it was the London Film and Comic Con, which 8 years ago was a lot smaller than what it is now, because I went to it last summer and it was a completely different world. And it was really neat, and it was kind of weird for me because I'll be sitting up there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting next to that person. Oh, there's that person. Even I'm doing selfies of myself and sending it to my friends with like people in the background. So I mean, it was a culture shock. The next one I went to was Dragon Con in Atlanta, and
that's a whole other
ball game. And that was kind of my introduction to the bigger ones. And I've done a lot of different ones, and I just did San Diego Comic Con, which is on a whole different level. It's amazing. It's amazing just to talk to fans. And as a military brat, I always love it because you always get someone who was in the Marines and they come up to you and they say, you know, aliens meant so much to us, and we watched it before we deployed. And for me, to think that I had a small part in them going off and then feeling like they were, you know, part of a family, and, you know, them being able to relate to it, for me, that is like probably the biggest compliment.
You filmed and you went back here. How long was it before you actually saw the movie?
So we moved back here in May, and then it premiered in July. And so we went down to LA to watch it. I was supposed to go to London for the premiere of it, but school had started, so I didn't.
Did it feel any?
No, and I think it's because I was so young. Like, and Sigourney used to say to my mom, you know, it's so weird because Carrie just thinks this is normal. And it's normal for 9-year-olds to do stuff like that. And for me, it is. You know, I see the abnormality of it now that it's not. And, like, you know, we have pictures on the wall, and my daughter will say something like, or, you know, there's something that Sigourney has given her or something, and she'll be like, oh, yeah, my friend Sigourney gave this to me. And my friends will say, that's just not normal. And that's kind of when it dawns on me, like, I've got some great friends, you know? But and like watching it on the screen, I saw it again in LA they did an Alien Day screening of it around the country. And it's nice for me because my husband goes to those things. And I think watching it on the screen for him is kind of neat. It's my daughter is now the age I was, and she really looks like me. So for me, it's almost like watching her. But like, look, there was only one part that scared me that I wasn't there for it to be filmed. And throughout the whole filming, James Cameron was always trying to scare me. And I'd be like, yeah, whatever, It's just, or he'd like throw like a rubber chicken at me or something, and like it wouldn't scare me. Okay, whatever, okay. But yeah, at the very beginning, they go, when the Marines come onto the colony, and there's the three aliens in a thing, and one jumps out at Paul Razor. Oh, I didn't see that being filmed, and I screamed. And by this stage, nobody knew who this kid was, and they're screaming because my part hadn't come on yet. And so everyone kind of looked at me, and then I didn't realize James Cameron was sitting behind me. And so he tapped me on the shoulder, but I was still like in shock from the other one, and I screamed again, and he's like, I got you twice in like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is weird to see yourself on screen, but it's, I guess to me it's kind of normal, which is weird.
So your daughter can then play Newt in a flashback?
She probably could, yeah.
Do you have a particular, you know, you talk about the stories of you running around with the stuntman and camera trying to scare you, and then we get the story about the slide. It's on IMDb. I kept busting the shot because you don't have a slide.
It has been exaggerated. I didn't bust it that many times.
So what is the story on that? This is where you're hanging on and you fall down the chute?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So it was about a 3 or 4 story chute, and it had this huge mat at the bottom of it, which, I mean, we're kids. That's like heaven right there. And then all the people working on the film had put like a sign up, and it was like adults 1 pound, children free. Well, I was the only child there anyways. And so I was up there, and I think maybe once or twice I kind of messed up a little bit so that I could go down, and then, because I didn't mind then going up and down the stairs. And then James Cameron said to me, he's like, Carrie, as soon as we can get this done, and I always thought he knew what I was doing, but just this summer we talked about it, and he didn't realize that's what I was doing. And he said, as soon as we can get this done, you can go on the slide as much as you want. So I said, all right, let's go. So, yeah.
Bill Paxton improvised a lot of lines. How much did you get to play with what was in the script? Was that even discussed? Did Cameron even say, we'll do it this way and then we'll try it one and you can make something up?
The only kind of improvising that, because I am very much like, I mean, I guess James Cameron said to my dad, you know, I don't have a lot of experience working with children. Do you have any tips on Carrie, what I can do to get her? And he just said, tell her exactly what you want and she'll do it. And that's how it always been. Like, you tell me what I want and I'll do it. And I'll do exactly what you say. Like, one point I stick my hands up through the grate before the alien comes. So I was in the water, and he was actually on top, and he said, okay, I'm going to say Sporting's line, it is XYZ. And once I say that, you say your line. So I said, okay. So we were rolling, and he didn't say XYZ. He said, like, ABC, and I said nothing. So then he's like, okay, cut. Carrie, what happened? And I said, well, you were supposed to say XYZ, you didn't say it. I mean, I was very literal. The only thing that was, I guess, kind of an improvise, but it wasn't, is at one point early on, James Cameron said, you know what, let's add a scream in here. So I want you to scream, and we'll see how that goes. So I said, okay, so I screamed, and then when I was finished, I kind of stopped and looked around, and everyone was just staring at me. And so it was kind of, I guess, an improvise, but like, then he said, okay, we're going to use that word. So, but then I got laryngitis, so that kind of sucked.
You did a lot of screaming in that.
Yeah.
Now, I understand your brother was also in the movie, was in the deleted scene. He played your brother in the film. Do you guys ever talk about the experience, or?
Yeah, I mean, my brother got to come on set even when he wasn't filming. The school would let him out occasionally to come up, and he would spend a week here or there because my mom and I were living in London. He and my dad were at Cambridge, well, just outside of Cambridge. And so he'd come and do that. For me, it was cool because I'm on set, he and I are over there, my mom's over here, I get to argue with him, and I got to hit him with my doll, and I was getting paid, and she knew nothing about it. So, like, for for me, that was cool. I don't know how cool it was for you. But, you know, it was never, like, I used to get a lot of, you know, like, oh, was your brother jealous that his part got cut out or whatever? My parents would never allow that to happen. Like, there was no, I didn't brag. I didn't make fun of him or anything like that. It was what it was. And we were pretty much told that eventually, one day, there would be, you know, an extended version and he would be in it. So, I mean, it just, it was never a big deal in our family.
So, if you were to go back, what kind of, where do you see dudes now? If I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but you know, 30 years later, just spitballing, where do you think dude would be after all this time?
I mean, I don't know, that's kind of hard. I guess I kind of see her as taking over from Ripley. You know, I see that, because kind of James Cameron kind of set it up and some people saw it, some people didn't, but there's a lot of frames that had Higgs, Ripley, and Newt. And he was trying to kind of set up that family. So in my mind, I always thought, you know, we went back to Earth and lived a happy life. You know, probably won't happen, and obviously didn't. But I guess I always just felt like, because in the movie, Sigourney and I had such a strong bond that I looked up to her as my character, and I guess I always felt like Newt probably would have grown up to be kind of like her, maybe do something similar.
And you two kept in touch over the years, you say you're still friends, maybe you still have that connection between the two of you. Would that make it easier for you to be on set doing this after so long? I mean, if all the stars aligned and everything worked out and you just decided, okay, I'm going to do it, and, you know, we're going to take 3 weeks in the summer and go play new again, would that make it easier that you've kept in touch with her all this time?
Probably. I mean, she definitely eased my mind on set because there were some times where I was a little bit, like, not quite sure what to expect, especially, like, in the Alien Queen whole thing and with all the gunfire and fire and all the crazy special effects that were going on, that I kind of looked to her, and when she was calm, I found out, you know, 30 years later that she wasn't as calm on the inside as she was portraying to me. But yeah, I mean, I think just in general, actors kind of play off of each other and how things are,
anyone else have questions?
Good morning. I found your juxtaposition of fandom conventions with teaching conventions and music, and I was wondering if you might elaborate on some of the fun things you've had at teaching conventions. Thank you.
I don't know if they're fun, I guess, if you're into education. I went to one, and it was in San Antonio, and actually my husband went with, because I had miles, so he was off, so I thought, we'll go down there. And he would go kind of check out where we were going to go on the river walk for dinner and things like that while I was learning about, like, math, reading, and all that fun stuff. I mean, I guess the way he described it was kind of like at nighttime, it was like teachers gone wild down there. but, I mean, I guess that's...
My best friend is a math teacher in Corpus. And I've heard stories.
It was pretty crazy, I'll tell you. I was like, whoa.
So do you have a specialty, you know, in fourth grade, some kind of, depending on the school, that you either have, you're always teaching math to all of the students, or reading, or
do you have... I do it all. I do it all, yeah. And I'm excited this year I have my daughter in my class, so.
Have you thought anything about the idea, because teachers, sometimes you're getting up in front of a class, you're essentially on stage, you're what you have to be on for class. Have you found yourself pulling from your time on Aliens to oh, there's some trick that you can try to get the kids to do anything?
You know, I don't know, I'm asked that question a lot, and I guess, you know, there are things that, like, I do use it because kids say things that you can't laugh about, but you really want to laugh about. Oh, awesome, thank you. That you really want to laugh about, but you kind of have to act like it's not funny. And sometimes they have to get in trouble for what they did, even though it's slightly amusing. But, you know, I'm like the weird teacher. Like, I dance, I sing, I do all that stuff. So I guess I kind of do use that, although I can't sing and I can't dance. So it's interesting. But, I mean, I guess I do kind of really use that. I sometimes still, like, have the kids do plays and things like that, and I use a lot of acting.
I'm assuming, being nine, you may aliens that you had never seen the first movie because it would have creeped you out. But then I assume that also, if you had seen the first movie, Alien, would you have been too scared to death to do the sequel?
Well, actually, I had never seen it all through the audition phase. And then when they offered me the part, they did. Gail and Hart did say, the producer, she said, Carrie needs to watch Aliens. Before you sign anything, she needs to watch Aliens. Which at the time, I was 8 at the time, and I actually thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was funny. Which is ironic, because Aliens is probably the scariest movie I've watched since then, because I don't like scary movies. I did see it, but I had a very different reaction. Now I wouldn't want to go watch it, because it would probably scare me, and I have, like, that active imagination, and I, like, imagine it was going to happen around me or something.
Now, with Gil and her producing The Walking Dead, do you get questions about showing up on that show at some point? I mean, are people regularly asking you when you're going to get back into acting?
I do get asked that a few times, and there's been a couple of people who have talked to me about doing cameos on different things than that, and I said if it works out, it works out, then I wouldn't be opposed to it. Just right now, I don't have a lot of time. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because in San Diego, Sigourney and I were talking to Gail separately, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, Gail, I haven't watched it. And she's like, oh my God, Sigourney hasn't watched it either. She's like, how come you haven't? I go, it would terrify me. I would be convinced zombie, everywhere were zombies. And that's exactly what Sigourney said.
She said, as soon as that idea gets implanted in her head, yep. She would just see them everywhere.
Yeah, that would be me.
There was, you keep mentioning cameos, you'd be okay with cameos. The recent sequel to Independence Day got a lot of fan blowback because they replaced the actress who played the president's daughter from the first movie, who was about that same young age, and they replaced her. And there were a lot of people who were not happy with that. Since this is your part, would you be okay with somebody else playing an older Newt? Because there are a lot of people out there that think you're the only one that needs to play. If Newt comes back, Carrie Ann needs to play.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I guess about a year and a half ago, I opened up a Twitter account, and I get a lot of questions about it, and a lot of people saying that to me. As long as they did me proud, I'd be...
Because in this new one, I mean, you've got, you know, Sigourney's back, being said he's coming back. One of those where, well, if we're bringing everybody back, we need to bring everybody back. And so, you know, there's that push.
Well, I think that from what I've read, is that Newt is supposed to be quite a bit younger. Is supposed to be like in her late 20s, is what I read somewhere. So I don't think I can pull that off at 40.
So what's next for you? I mean, you've got the school year starting on Monday, right? Tuesday. And that's your life. You've got how many kids do you have?
I have two children.
What do they think about all this? Now that you're in all the convention circuit and you're doing the publicity tours and the press.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, my son is in second grade. He's like, whatever, he doesn't care. He gets to meet some pretty cool people and get some pretty cool autographs out of it. My daughter is at the age where she's like, this is pretty cool. Maybe this is what I would want to do. She kind of gets it a little bit. bit more than he does. I think it's just because of the age. Like at San Diego, they walked around with my husband, and my parents went as well. And they just couldn't believe that, like, I was sitting among these people. And during the panel and that, they just were amazed. I don't know if any of you have been to San Diego Comic-Con, but we were in Hall H, and my children were just like, that's so weird that people, that many people wanted to hear you talk. Like, we have to hear you talk all the time. You know, my students say the same thing. You know, I mean, they
just... You're just mom, or...
Yeah. But, you know, like, for me, for when they go there, I'm very conscious of, I don't want people to know they're my children. So they aren't allowed to come up to me or anything like that, which is hard for them. But I like to keep, you know, want to keep them safe.
You say your daughter has expressed an interest. Is this something that you encourage, or is this something you just kind of wait and see what she's going to do, or do you want to completely say no and get it?
Well, one minute she says that, and the next minute she wants to be a doctor, and then the next minute she wants to go into robotics. So whatever, you know, I mean, like I said to her, I said, well, if whatever you choose to do, I will support her just as my parents did. And if she, I said, you are one of the luckier ones that if going into acting is something you want to do, I obviously have connections to try to, you know, see if that is something to further. But I'm not, I mean, I really don't know. Right now, her big thing is robotics, so.
Are you still afraid of dogs?
I don't really like them very much.
Anyone else have any questions? Got time.
I have to run to the microphone to get to it. I figure you probably got a pretty good look of some of the mechanics or the puppeteering for the facehugger, since, you know, they have the scene with Newt in there, trapped with one. How did that work? I mean, it looked like they really just didn't have any wires out there. Was there a lot of remote control going off that, or how did that work?
Yeah, it was remote control, basically, and then there was someone off on the sides, and they were moving all the stuff around and everything. So it was pretty cool. It was like a remote control facehugger. It's not even house to describe it, but yeah.
Do they ever let you play with the remote and kind of make it run around?
No, because I might have broken it.
Aww.
I mean, they let me do other cool things, like the end where they pull me across on the ground. She opens up when she's fighting the Queen Alien and all that kind of stuff with power lever. I had a harness on, and it was the same harness that you can use to fly around like Superman. And on another set, they were filming aliens flying around from various scenes here or there. And they said, when we're done with this, we'll take you over to that. Then they let me fly around and do fun stuff like that.
Cool.
So
that's all I got.
It paid to be the only child on set.
You were
getting
paid
for the...
Yeah.
Were there any props or anything from the set that you got to keep?
No, yes and no. I kept asking, can I keep those? Can we keep those? Can we keep those? Can we keep those? Come in. James Cameron kept saying no. When Ripley goes afternoon and it's in like my little nest where I had all the stuff in there, she pulls out a picture and it says I can raise a citizenship award. And in it, I'm like, there's a picture of me and I'm in a dress. I still have that dress, but that's about the extent I think of the excitement. And like, wardrobe gave me a few little things. On Hudson's coat of armor, he had a skull, and there was like a knife in it or something, and they had made multiple of those, and so they gave me one of those, and like little things like that. But now I was not allowed to keep lunch.
What was your biggest takeaway from working on that set? The one big thing that has stuck with you all this time from that experience?
You know, I think even as a child, I realized how much that movie centered around a woman hero. And, you know, I don't know if it's from the movie or if it's from my parents or if it's a little bit of both, but I never doubted that I could do or be anything that I wanted to do. I think it was kind of empowering for me as a girl. That's almost an exciting thing to take away from it, but
that actually pretty profound. Given that you were 9 at the time, and having that kind of epiphany, that actually is probably something that would put you in your path to teaching language, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this. I haven't been having a kid of my own do that. You know, you can do anything that you want, knowing that the resources and talent and skills are going to be whatever package they end up with. And, you know, you talk about having connections if she wants to start getting into acting or whatever. Did you have any additional opportunities that came your way out of this? Or when you were done, you were done, and you went back to school and everything else was?
Well, right after Aliens, I was actually offered quite a few parts. They offered me parts, like, they were willing, I didn't have to try out for them type thing. I did turn them, a few of them down, and that was because I had just moved here, and I wasn't ready. I needed a break. There was one movie that I had tried out for that I was really excited about, and the funding just fell through. So, you know, it's one of those things, but, you know, ultimately, and I think that's what a lot of people have a hard time with understanding, because they don't understand that it wasn't my passion, it wasn't my dream. Did I enjoy it? Yes. Was it an amazing experience? Absolutely. Would I do it again? Of course. But it wasn't my passion, my dream. Teaching was. And so that, you know, I'm a very lucky girl who had, and I mean, if you're going to be in a movie, it was one of the movies to be in, you know? It's the same thing too, like I was saying to Kevin Smith when I was in San Diego. I said, you know, I came out on top. How many people come out on top and can stay up there? You know, so is it better to leave when you're on top? I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes don't get me wrong, I'm looking around my class and I think, man, I gave up what could have been a lot of money. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, I love what I do.
Well, and that's, you use the word passion. That's the thing is, you know, I've been to places where, you know, people that are working on the project are either just doing it for the money or they've got a contractual obligation in their hearts. And they just really just don't want to be there. And it does affect the performance of the work. And, you know, for whatever the job is, whether it's acting or teaching,
it's or teaching.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you don't believe in what you're doing, then you should find something else to do. And it sounds like you've really found your niche. Now, did you want to be a teacher going back as far as you remember, or when did that?
Yeah, I mean, I remember before I even went to school, pretending to be a teacher, and then once I went to school, I just kind of went from there. But I had a second grade teacher who I absolutely loved, and I just, you know, I strive to be a teacher like her. So,
the instance or funny stories from the classroom.
On two bases. I mean, there's always something that happens, and it's, you know, kind of, usually the wild and crazy stuff doesn't happen that often, but upon occasion.
When you first started teaching, was there any of that from the staff and the other from your coworkers?
No, not as far as that was concerned, because I subbed at the school that I originally started teaching at, and I taught there for 10 years, but I had subbed there off and on for about 2 or 3 years, the last few years of going to university. And they all knew me, and most of them I'd gone to school with their kids, so it was like, whatever, it's not a big deal. I mean, I do get kids, they'll come up to me, and they'll say, like, after parent-teacher conferences in the fall, and they'll say, my dad has never, ever, ever taken off work to go to a conference. It's always my mom. And I just have to tell you, the only reason he came is because he's a big fan of Aliens. So I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing because
you can use that. You can encourage a parent involvement.
Oh yeah, but usually they just come in to meet me. And then like the kids will bring, like at Christmas time, they'll bring like the DVD. And would you sign this and I'll give it to my dad for Christmas and things like that, so.
You mentioned that the London Con and
maybe some other cons as well. Taking selfies of yourself with people in the background. Who have you been really juiced or jazzed to meet or take selfies with, and vice versa? Do you think it's funny that some celebrities have been jazzed or juiced to meet you?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to me sometimes when other celebrities will say, like, oh my god, I'm so excited. Oh, I used to watch Aliens when I was little and you were my favorite character and things like that. And that used to, like, that's kind of weird for me. I think my biggest one was when I went to a convention in Germany and MacGyver was there. Oh, I was like, oh my god, it's MacGyver! I like wanted to pull out that tape, you know, like do something cool, you know. And you know, I kept taking, like, and we were, at one point, all of us were on the stage, so, like, I was on this big stage with him in front of all these people, and, you know, we were all up there taking pictures, so I made sure I got a picture, and I sent it to my brother, and I was like, look who I saw.
Is there, like, a balance? Like, you want to play it cool, but you also want to be a fangirl at the same time?
Yeah, I try to play it cool. I met Christopher Lloyd, and I was kind of, like, stumbling as I was talking to him. And I was kind of embarrassed about that. But, and don't get me wrong, I sit up on the panels at Alien stuff, and I think, you know, backstage, I'm talking to my buddy, and then I'm on stage, I'm like, oh my god, I'm sitting at the same table as Bill Paxton, like, he's sitting right next to me, like, you know, because, I mean, to me, he is a movie star. I mean, yes, he's my friend, but it's still like, wow, it's pretty cool.
You want to name drop somebody who was jazzed or juiced to meet you?
Oh my gosh, I can't think of anyone at the moment. I'm trying to think. Give me a minute, I'll get back to you if I can think of anyone.
Yes.
Sorry, I will just tell you too, I just came in on a red eye, so I'm kind of tired.
It's funny you talk about, you know, that meeting the celebrities, meeting the people who are famous. And I've had, you know, doing this, I've had a lot of opportunities to, you know, sit and talk with people and interview people. And it never occurs to me to take selfies with any of these people. Because I'm, you know, to me, it's just, you know, we're having a conversation, we're doing a thing. I'm, you know, in my box.
Yeah.
And not even thinking as a fan at the moment, where we're sitting talking, because, you know, you're doing the interview. And people hear what I do, and all this is cool, because you get to meet other people. Oh, yeah, exactly. I have to be reminded that, you know, that there are celebrities in this world that we have, that we're in. And it's interesting that you have that same bit where at some point you're a fan and at some point you're on the job.
But like it's weird too because I associate more with all of you. You know, like I'm not a celebrity. I'm not, like, that's not my life. So I mean, it is. I'll admit because I don't watch, you know, any scary movies. Sometimes a lot of my friends and even my husband will say their law conventions are lost on me because I don't know who some of the people are, and I'll be sitting there talking to someone, and I actually have the IMDb app on my phone so that when I'm at conventions I can actually put in their names, like who I'm sitting next to, and find out, which is kind of bad, but then I'm like, oh yeah, I know that person now.
Except it's after the fact.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
That actually keeps you from stumbling and fumbling when you're actually interacting with them. So I guess maybe that's a good thing.
I guess, yeah. Actually, I was just thinking, I'm trying to think of Thorne. He used to always do the pro-am, the golf pro-am in Monterey. And my brother's friend were all into going there and getting autographs from people. And they would say to my friend and I, well, we'll pay for all your meals and everything. We just want you to come with us. Because they were obviously thinking two girls are going to get the autograph before two guys. And so we went there and Bill Murray was there. And they're like, Gary, you got to say something about Noe Sigourney. Because he's not giving anyone an autograph. We need it in. You've got to do it. And I was really upset because he came to visit her at Pinewood, and she came back from lunch and she's like, oh, Gary, I didn't even think think about it. I should have taken your lunch. I met Bill Murray for lunch and didn't even think about that. You know, your Ghostbusters fan would have enjoyed it. So I did fumble when I was talking to him, and I was like, oh, you know, a friend of mine. And he stopped and looked at me, probably thinking, who's this crazy lady? And so I said, oh, it's Sigourney. And he's like, yeah, how do you know her? So I told him, I said, remember you came to visit her at Pinewood? And so he actually stopped and gave us his autograph for that. But of course, I didn't get all the work, but I didn't get the autograph.
But you got lunch.
Yeah, I did get lunch. I don't know if it was very exciting, though.
It has been pleasant having you here in Evil Land together. I think I should reunite you with Jeremy now.
I have a bad feeling about this. Maybe I should get out of here before I vanish too. But visit neverlandpodcast.com for all of our contact information and write us a review on iTunes and email. Email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.